precious Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so let's start by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8, the scripture that we looked at in the first teaching on this series. Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 1. Deuteronomy 8 from verse 1. New King James Version, please. Okay, so reading says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. We're going to read until 18, so it does go through quite fast. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that it is that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Next verse, please. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Amen. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, that flows of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and of pomegranates. A land of olives and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Now it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and your herd and flock multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you with in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to you, to your fathers, as it is this day. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Some of the things that were spoken of in that reading, it says that where you live in goodly houses, where you are living without scarcity, you do not lack bread, you do not lack any good thing. Those are things that we'll be entering into by reasons of these teachings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our first teaching in this series was titled and it just flew out of my head now. Good, power to get well, thank you. So that was power to get well. And today we are looking at God is my source. The purpose of today's teaching is just to stir up a consciousness in you that God is my source. Amen. Now I know that we've had this said before, and I know we oftentimes say it, but I'll be making some comparisons with our healing and health class. For some of us here, one symptom of sickness and disease comes upon your body, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. What are you doing? You are reminding yourself of what Jesus has done for you, number one. You are reminding the devil of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Amen. And then you are declaring your faith. Amen. So, the same way, when any symptom of poverty, lack, when any need comes up, when any bill stares at you, it should be automatic that what comes to your mouth is, not who is going to help me here, or where am I going to get money to settle this need, but God is my source. Hallelujah. That should be our consciousness. That should be what automatically comes out of your mouth when you are faced with any need, any financial challenge, any need, any symptom of scarcity, of want. You remind yourself that God is my source. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like our pastor was teaching us in the first message in this series, he said that one of the greatest lessons we will learn is to know and believe that God is my source. Hallelujah. And like I said, it's not God is our source. I know we're a family, we're a church family, but let this be your personal revelation. Amen. That God is my source. Hallelujah. Amen. So, like I said, the purpose of this teaching is to bring you to the consciousness that God is my source. This is something that you should declare every time, anywhere you go. In fact, personally, it has become, I'm learning to, and it has become my habit that if I think anything that has to do with money, the first thing that comes to me is God is my source. Even if I have the money in my account to handle whatever it is, the first thing that comes to me is God is my source. Because we can come to a place where we are so confident in other things, put our confidence in other things, that we do not realize that God is our source. Amen. We need to be conscious of the fact that God is our source. Amen. So when we say God is our source, what do we mean? I know some people might not have thought about it. What do you mean when you say God is your source? Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. From verse 25. Matthew 6:25. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food? And the body more than clothes? Amen. To somebody this evening, I'm saying, is life not more than food? Amen. Amen. And the body not more than clothes? Amen. Next verse. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? That means that which of you, by worrying, has grown fatter? Or by worrying, your hair has grown longer? Amen. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Praise God. Amen. We see relationships being made between us, the birds of the field, the flowers of the field, the birds of the air, the flowers of the field. Amen. And it says that if God clothes the grass of the field, which is just there for a very short moment. Amen. I mean, you see beautiful flowers. An example, you pick up a rose flower. Oh, it's so beautiful. It smells nice. But the instant you pluck that flower, just give it a few minutes to an hour, it wilts, it withers, it's gone. Amen. And all that beauty has gone. So all that beauty was just there for that temporal moment. Amen. For he says that if God clothes the flowers, if God makes flowers so beautiful, he says, how much more us? Amen. So I said, when we say God is our source, what do we mean? It means God is our Father. Amen. God is our Father. Amen. And like I put it here, God is our Father. He is a responsible and loving Father. Amen. And he knows all the things that you need. Amen. See this verse, verse 3 says that, he says that, verse 32, please. Let's go back one. He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, he says, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Amen. He knows that you need some of these things, a lot of these things. So God knows every single thing that you need. Amen. Even the one you can't tell somebody beside you. God knows all that you need. Amen. So, I know somebody will be thinking now that, okay, this one that God knows all that, all the things I need. So why doesn't he just give me the things I need so that we'll just rest and we're done? Amen. Praise God. Verse 33 says that, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen. Amen. Let me make this illustration. How many of you here have gone to the market to buy one thing or the other? Anything? Okay, thank you. How many of you have gone to buy garri in the market? Okay. You have gone to buy beans in the market? Good number of hands, amen. Praise God. But let me ask, how many of you are going to buy jara in the market? Have some of you not come back from the market with jara? And so, why is nobody raising his hand? Amen. Hallelujah. So you understand my point. You don't go to the market to buy jara. You go to the market to buy something. And then when you buy, depending on the quantity you buy, you are given jara. So if it's 1 tier you buy, it's not as much as what you buy, what you will get if you buy 10 tiers. Amen. So please, let's go to Matthew 6:33. So let me read it this way. It says that, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as jara. Amen. Praise God. So that means what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear is just jara. Amen. That is the kind of Father you have. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Which means he has so much more for you than what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Amen. He says that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. they will be added on top of the things that God will actually give you. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, how I have it written here is, all the things you are worried about are just Jara. Amen. What keeps you, for some of you, what keeps you awake late at night, or what wakes you up very early in the morning, is just Jara. Amen. Like our pastor was teaching in the first teaching in this series, he said that one of the things that God opposes is man trying to meet his own needs himself. Amen. God wants us to know that he is our source. Amen. And like this passage says, this that you should not worry about what you eat or what you will drink. Worrying is man trying to meet his needs himself. Amen. Amen. In fact, the way it is, some people believe that if you have a challenge, or if you have a need, or if you have something that is coming up and you are not worried, you are not being responsible. Amen. You are not worried, you are not responsible. So it's almost an automatic attachment that if you have a need coming up, you should be worried. Where is it going to come from? Especially if it's something that is bigger than what your bank account can settle. Amen. But it says that do not worry about your needs. Why are you not going to be worried about your needs? Because God is my source. Amen. Please let's say that again. God is my source. And as our Father in the house has told us time and time again, that our needs are just a distraction. Amen. What do you mean by that? Our needs are a distraction. Amen. So this verse, this passage of scripture, Matthew 6:33 and previous verses, makes it very clear. It says that we should not seek after our needs, but we should seek after the kingdom. Amen. When we reverse the order is when things get out of place. Amen. When you are seeking after the food you eat, the clothes you will wear, food you eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, we abandon the kingdom and its righteousness. And we are trying to add all these things to our self. I don't know about you, but I would like to see a show of hands. How many people have been very successful at doing that? Amen. By seeking after your needs, you have come to a place where you have everything you need. Amen. Amen. Some people are above 40 in this house. So after 40 years in the wilderness, seeking after your own needs, have you come to a place where you have everything that you need? Which means that that principle of seeking after your own needs has not worked very well, at least for most of us. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is my source. Amen. All right, so let's look at Matthew 7, next chapter. Matthew 7 from verse 7. Still about who is our source. It says that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. Next verse. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Next verse. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, it says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. So we are children of a God of how much more? Amen. 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 quickly, let's look at Romans chapter, favorite verse of mine, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. It says that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Amen. This sounds just like that Matthew 7. How much more? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everyone who is here knows Pastor Tim. Amen. Amen. Our beloved Pastor Tim. Amen. And if you know Pastor Tim, then you know that he has a daughter named Deborah. So Deborah runs up to Daddy and says, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 I want biscuits." And then Pastor Tim puts his hand inside his bag and brings out a baby scorpion. You think he'll do that? In fact, the way he's looking at me, praise God. this kind of illustration you are giving, amen. But he's human, he will not do that, amen. The scripture says that if you, being human, that means some people can be wicked, amen. Some people can be that wicked to do something like that, amen. But it says if you, being human, will not do that to your own child, which means that you have a soft spot for this one. So even if you do it to somebody else, you will not do it to this one. It says, how much more will your Father give you all things? Amen. So, I'm announcing to you, in case you don't know, God has a soft spot for you. Amen. Amen. And so, he will give you much more than you ask for. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. So like I said, worrying is you trying to meet your needs by yourself. But you have a responsible Father who is responsible for you. Your needs are his responsibility. Amen. 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 Praise God. So in that light, let's say let me use an illustration. Someone here, you got admission into this school that maybe teaches some part of specialized skill, and your semester fees is just 10 million naira. And so you got admission, and then you are believing God, confessing God's word, and you are walking along the road. And then, the way I have it written here, I'll take it in the reverse. And then as you're walking along the road, a madman passes you. And then he stops and says, "Hey, you, that thing you're worrying about, don't worry, it's settled. From now on, I will take care of it." How many of you start jumping and rejoicing? Amen. You will not. Why? He does not have the capacity. Amen. But then, as you are walking by along the road, wondering where this money will come from, all of a sudden, a convoy is passing with speed, and all of a sudden, you find out that it's Tinubu that is passing. And then the convoy just stops, and Tinubu comes out and says, you, I like you. What is that thing that you need? But from now on, consider that I am your Father. Anything you need, done. Hallelujah. You know that there is nothing that will come up financially that is not settled. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, I know somebody is thinking, he says, "I'll go and look for trouble just so that they will know who my Father is." Amen. Amen. That's the president of Nigeria. Amen. Whether you like him or not, he has that capacity. Amen. But how much more the God of all creation? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we have a responsible Father. God is our Father and God is responsible. He says in Matthew 6 there, it says that your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God is not ignorant of anything that you need. Amen. But then the principle in that scripture is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he says that all these things will be added to you. Amen. Praise God. Whenever we hear God is our source, I know that a lot of times, and it's something that we need to disabuse our mind of, a lot of times our minds are tied to money amounts. That is naira and kobo. Amen. Or dollars, pounds, sterling, whatever it is. Amen. But we should know, and we should come to a place that we know that our source, God is our source, and God is not limited to money. Amen. Amen. Take for instance, and just to give this as an illustration, you have to pay house rent, and what you are thinking about is, automatically what you are thinking about is, okay, how will I get 350,000 or 500,000 or 250,000 to pay this house rent? Amen. But God being your source, it will so happen, if God is doing this for you, that you come to a place where your landlord comes and says, you see this house? God has revealed to me that I should give it to you. So going forward, this house is yours. Has the need been met? Was money involved? Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's disconnect that connection that it must always be in monetary terms. Amen. God has a billion ways, just as he has billions of people upon the earth. He has a billion ways where how he can meet the need. Amen. And so it does not have to be you paying for it. Amen. Somebody can give you for free. Amen. I know our father-in-law used to say that free is better than cheap. Amen. So rather than because of that connection we have with money, when we go to the markets, if this is this price here and this is this price here, you'll do as if you didn't even see this one. Say this is where you focus on, because this is where your money can reach. Amen. Even if the Spirit of God is saying, look at this side now, you just be like, I don't want trouble. Oh. This is where my money can reach. Amen. And because of that connection, a lot of times we'll forfeit some of the good that God is bringing our way, because we are tied to what we can afford, not what our Father can afford. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 1. Amen. I want to believe somebody is getting blessed this evening. Amen. So, when I looked at this scripture, studying the scripture, I had to go back to check again who was talking here. And this was Moses talking to the children of Israel after they had been brought out of the land of Egypt. Amen. And if you all remember our Bible history, we know that when they left Egypt, the children of Israel left Egypt, they plundered Egypt. Means that they collected gold, the silver, everything. So, in today's context, we will say that they came out with billions of whatever currency they were, dollars, pounds, whatever you want to think about. But they came out with all this wealth into the wilderness where they had nothing to buy. Amen. Amen. So, some of you have heard of a person that is called Elon Musk. Let's say Elon Musk credits your account with $100 billion. But then, so you are confident, right? You are settled. That kind of money is settling money. Your generations after you, they're all settled. Amen. Praise God. But then you are in a place where there's nothing to buy. So how important or how useful is that money to you? Amen. So this was the case of the children of Israel. They came out with such great riches. Amen. But then they were in the wilderness. There are no supermarkets or shopping malls or anything in the wilderness. It's dry sand, not even water to drink, not food to eat. They had the money to buy anything they wanted to buy. If it was grains or food or water or drink, they had the money to buy it, but there was nothing to buy. Amen. And why did God do this? That they should know. Amen. That man shall not live by bread, he says, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. So once again, disabuse your mind from thinking that everything that you get, you have to buy. Amen. God is my source, and my source never runs dry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for us, true prosperity is you being rooted and grounded in the reality that God is my source. Amen. God is my source. So saying that God is your source, it must go beyond just being something we say in church. Amen. It must become the system by which you operate by every single day. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says here, okay, let's start from verse 1, please. It says, after the death of Moses, this was still the same, I don't want to say movie now, this was still the same, this was still the same period of time, amen. This was just a transition from Moses as their leader who brought them out of Egypt to Joshua who took over from Moses. So it was still the same context. They were still in the wilderness, amen. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go into the Jordan, and all these people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Amen. No one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. This sounds like Hebrews 13. Amen. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Again, he's saying, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses was commanding them. Amen. And it says that, do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. In verse 8, it says that, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is in it. For then I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Hallelujah. Some people didn't get that. For then, verse 8, please. Verse 8, it says, for then I will make your way prosperous. What does it say? It says, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Amen. Who is making whose way prosperous? God is making your way prosperous. But what does it say before then? It says that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Amen. Amen. If we are reading this in light of what we are learning here in this class, we will say that the revelation of God is my soul shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you will observe to do according, or that your life will represent all that is written in God is my source. It says, then you shall make your way prosperous and then you shall have good success. Amen. What I'm trying to bring out here is that this revelation is something we must meditate upon day and night. It will only become a reality to us when it has become our every moment consciousness that God is my source. Amen. When it becomes a reality every point in time that God is my source. Amen. Praise God. It says, then you shall make your way prosperous and then you shall have good success. Amen. So faith can only rise in your heart when you are conscious that God is your source. Amen. Faith will rise in your heart when you are conscious of the fact that God is your source. If you are not, just like the illustration I gave earlier, where I said you are walking along the road and then Tinubu stops and says that today your finance is anything that you need, he will take care of it. At that point, even if he said that and you did not hear him, probably you could still be shaking about your needs being met or whatever it is that you are believing God for. But the fact that you have heard it, the fact that you heard him say it, even if there's nothing to back it up, you just believe that as he has said it, it is done. Amen. What is that? Faith has risen in your heart and you are confident that that matter is settled. Amen. And so when you come to a consciousness that God is my source, it's something that you say day and night. It's something that you meditate day and night. You keep your mind on it. Then faith rises in your heart with that confidence that God is your source. Amen. Amen. So like I said before, just like you will see a symptom of sickness and disease upon your body, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Whenever anything reminds you of financial need or whatever it is, the first thing that should come out of your heart is, God is my source. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So this scripture we read was talking about children of Israel, their journey from the wilderness, as in from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. And I know I had it, and I've had it several times, and it's not until when I was studying this scripture again did I even see this part. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 1. It took them 40 years to go from Egypt to the promised land, Canaan. That's the promised land. Amen. But then, I don't know where I had it from, but maybe some of you too have had it, that this was a journey that should have taken them 40 days. Right? Okay, so let's look at what it says here. It says that These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel. Okay, sorry, please give me the amplified version. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel, still on the east side of Jordan or the Jordan River, in the wilderness, in Araba, the deep valley running from the north and south, from the eastern arm of the Red Sea to beyond the Dead Sea, over near Soap, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hezeroth, and Diz Ahab. I'm already getting dizzy with these names. Next verse, please. It says that it is only 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea on Canaan's border. Yet Israel took 40 years to get beyond it. Amen. Praise God. Some of you are as surprised as I was when I saw this. So it will have only taken them 11 days to get from Egypt to the promised land. But it says it took them 40 years. Amen. And for want of time, I might not be able to read why it took them 40 years. Amen. But then, if you look at Numbers talks about how God said to them, because of their unbelief, because of their hardness of heart, he says that everyone who was 20 and above will die in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't believe the report of Caleb and Joshua, who came out of who went to spy the land and came to give them back a report. And so, as punishment, everyone who was above 20 was going to die in the wilderness. So it took them 40 years for all those who were above 20 to die off in the wilderness. Amen. So those who entered the promised land, apart from Joshua and Caleb, were a new generation, a new breed. Those who, you say, maybe were innocent of the unbelief that the others exhibited. Amen. Praise God. But the point here is that it will have taken them 11 days to get from the wilderness, from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, to the promised land. Amen. Or like it says, to the border. Amen. Praise God. So while I was studying this, why did they take that long? Is because of their unbelief, hardness of heart. Amen. But then while I was studying this, this is what came up in my spirit. It says that, so for someone here, you could be driving that car, or living in your own house, or you could have started the work that God instructed you to. But because you are not established in the fact that God is your source, you are still in obscurity. Amen. Amen. When we are established in the fact that God is our source, a lot of the things that look big, a lot of things that look as if it will take us just thinking about it right now, I don't know if they knew, probably they did, if they knew that it could have taken them 11 days to get from Egypt to the promised land. But they went through in the wilderness, wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And many of them who came out of Egypt did not make it into the promised land. They died in the wilderness. In the same way, many people live through life without experiencing the things that God has for them. So to say, they die in the wilderness without entering into the place that God has destined for them. Amen. But with the revelation of God being our source, I pray And I believe that every one of us here will enter into all that God has for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 15. New King James Version, please. New King James Version. 15. Okay, so he said, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water? He says, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock? Next verse. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the end? Next verse. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this world. This is just before verse 18. But let's go back to verse 16, please. So it says that he fed them in the wilderness with manna, which their fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you. And he says to do you good in the end. Praise God. Our pastor mentioned in the last teaching, he said that one of the things that poverty and abundance does is it tries to take your mind away from God as your source. Amen. So, for some of us, we might have heard of the poverty test and the prosperity test. They are both contained in this passage of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 1, where it first talks about how they hungered and they were thirsty, and God gave them water out of rock, He gave them manna to eat. Amen. But then from verse 11, it now talks about the land in which God was taking them into. So, from verse 1 to verse 10, was talking about the poverty test. Amen. How poverty can draw your attention away from God. How lack can draw your attention away from God. I have that somewhere in my notes. I don't know where. I must have skipped over it. But there is a way that, in fact, is a question I should ask. Typically now, if we are all told here that by tomorrow, everybody here should bring 250,000 naira. I know that people's minds are racing in different directions. Some people will just, first of all, some people will just say, me, they're not talking to me. Nothing concerned. This one, you should just be saying, it doesn't concern me. If you know how it said in Yoruba, if you carry me and shake me like this, CC will not come out. Amen. So for some people, they have zeroed out that this one, they're not even talking to me. Amen. For some other people, they're already thinking, okay, yeah, that's my uncle. I'll just call my auntie here. I'll call my uncle here. I'll get 50,000, 100,000. They're already calculating how it's going to come. For some people, they're not even bothered. Say 200,000, 250,000. What is that? When in my account, I have 10 million. Let's say something else. So you see that typically, where people's minds go to when there is a financial need, different places. Amen. But our minds should converge to a place where we believe that God is my source. Whether you have the money or not, God is my source. Amen. Praise God. I'll share this story. It wasn't part of the things I wanted to talk about, but I'll give you some inside information and I'll share this story. So, we have been wanting to do ACs in church here. Amen. I hope I'm permitted to say this. And we did a survey. We had some people come to look at our building and all that. We did a survey and we tried to get the best quotation for what it would cost to do AC there. and to do AC that is befitting for us here. It cost over $100 million. Just for the AC itself. Not to talk of, we have to get a gen that can power the AC. We have to get a bigger gen that can power the AC. Praise God. So, when I thought about that, my mind went back to some years ago. That was around 2006, 2007. I was in Lagos. I was attending Daystar, Pastor Sam Adien, Daystar Christian Center. And at that point in time, Daystar just got a new hall, very big hall. Maybe 8 to 10 times the size of our hall is how big their hall is. And so they installed central air conditioning. And as at then, soft cell magazines, I don't know, magazines that carry all this gospel gist and all those things, they carry that you can imagine that a church is spending 50 million naira to install AC when souls are perishing. Amen. So this kind of, you are installing AC when there are people that don't have food to eat. Amen. So that was the talk around there. And so we're in a training, and Pastor Sam came up and said, I hope I'm getting the figure right, but he came up and said, you know what, that they are saying that we spent 50 million on AC. Like, what they don't know is that it wasn't 50 million, that it was 150 million. That's out there. But I can testify, if they put on that AC to half capacity, you'll be shivering inside the hall. Not full capacity, they just put it to half. You'll be a full hall, you'll be shivering. You'll be looking for how to... because we're doing a training while they were testing the AC and all that. But he said something, and this is where I'm going to. He said, they are saying that why people are hungry, why people's souls are perishing, we're spending 150 million to do AC. He says, what they fail to realize is that for God to bring this project to pass through you, it means that God will first have to put the money in your pockets for you to give. Amen. Now, we know that usually when you give, it's not 100% of what God gives you that you give to church. Amen. You give your tithe first, 10%. Amen. Then you give something on top. Maybe sacrificial giving, you give another 40% or 50%. So it is not all that God has given you that you will give. Amen. So what he was saying was that God will bless you to a point where you can afford to bring out that money to accomplish this project. Amen. And I believe that God is doing the same for us in this house in the name of Jesus. This project will be done with ease in the name of Jesus. But first of all, God will touch your pockets because God is your source. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It amazes me, and progressively over the years, it has been so inspiring and so much of a blessing to see how projects are done with ease here in Father's Light Ministry, especially through our set man. Almost like, I don't want to go into history, but praise God. I've never known our set man to be perturbed or troubled about financial needs. Amen. Amen. Okay, so with all due respect, I'll say this. I remember sometime years ago, I was living in Musasa, and he was going to campus. Okay, from his house, I don't know, something happened. I went to his house early in the morning, and we were going to campus together. Back in the day. We were going to campus together, and his car was giving issues. His car then was giving issues. One very notorious car then was giving issues, and so it stopped along the way. He stopped, just called the mechanic, handed over the car to the mechanic, and we together, we entered, you know, then we had these 220 buses, let's go. And we entered the bus together, and I was feeling bad, this kind of, how can my pastor be entering the bus? Bus is for people like us, not, man of God, amen, praise God. But you see, irrespective of what it was, as at that time, his disposition was the same. I don't see him differently now than I saw him then. Because he had learned this principle of God being his source. So whether in, you know how it says, how Paul says, whether you are base or you are bound, it's constant. Amen. We must all come to a place where we are rooted and grounded in the fact that God is my source. Typically, and I'm not exempt from this. Some of you might be. Some of you have reached that place. Amen. Praise God. Typically, when you know that, like our pastor was saying, when you have come to a place where you know that you really believe that God is your source, you will not be bothered when financial challenges are around you. Amen. But then, what we are used to, and a lot of us, what we have become programmed and what we will be delivered from in Jesus' name, is that when there is no money in your account, your mood changes. When there's no money in your account, you start having mild cases of depression. Your smile just vanishes. Amen. At that point, you have not come to realization that God is your source. Amen. I don't know how many of you here you have family, you go shopping, maybe you buy things, your house, or things like that. You might have money coming, then you buy things, what you need at home. So you have bought everything you need, but then there's very little or no money left in your hand. But you're not broke. You have everything you need. It's just that maybe money, right now, money is not in your hand. Amen. In that case, you don't have that case of depression, or you know that there's no money in your hand, but you are still confident. Amen. You are certain. Everything is in order. Amen. We must come to a place where we know whether money in our hands, money in your bank account or not. In fact, let me give you my personal testimony. I've been expecting some money to come, and the money hasn't come. And so initially, I'll just flip, check my bank account, and I'll not see it. And I realized that this checking bank account is not in line with this thing. So every time I pick up my phone and I'm tempted to check my bank account, I tell myself, God is my source. And then, because I had something to take care of, I bind myself, God is my source. So I stopped checking my account. Well, as my source will have it, another money even entered my account. That was not the money I was believing for. I was waiting for, expecting, and took care of the need that I had. And so the money I'm expecting is still coming. Amen. God is my source. Amen. So, I want to believe someone has been blessed tonight. Like I said, the consciousness that I want you to have is that irrespective of what situation or circumstances are, your consciousness should be, God is my source. Amen. There's a book like that. Attack Your Lack. Amen. Attack your lack with the consciousness that God is my source. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to believe someone has been blessed tonight. Thank you for listening. God bless you.